October 27, 2017 is the Watt Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. And Pedro, back from tour. Brother Matt indisposed. But I think next week I get to do a show with him. It's been a while, the hip surgery, and now he's doing real good with his Dodger rooting. He got to win some, at least one in Houston, though. So, anyway, back to me. I'm not man alone exactly. I'm in my pad and I'm recuperating and resting from the hell ride. But through the engineers over in Estonia, via the magic of Skype, I'm able to talk with Michael Massis here in Amherst, Massachusetts. How you doing, Mike?
Not bad. How you doing, Mike?
Well, very glad to be talking with you. You got a brand new record. I found out in the last week of my touring overseas with El Sueño de Mayanayo.
That's right. Yeah. It was great to hear from you. And we just put out another War Blues record. And it's, you know, me and my good friends, we've been playing out here for many years and regularly put out our tunes on CD Baby mostly in our Facebook page.
What number album is this?
I think it's just maybe our third one with this crew, this form of the Warblers band, which has kind of existed in over the years with different a different crew, but the musicians I'm playing with now are we've been about 10 years now.
Okay, we started the show off with Chasing the Train, John Coltrane live at the Village Vantage Garden '61. Then we had from the new album Warblers was Insomnia. Can I go way back? What's your earliest musical memory?
Probably as far as playing, we would probably
playing. It could be just hearing something in your pad.
Yeah. Well, we grew up, you know, in a college town with just music every place, all kinds of opportunities, but I would just say the earliest, listening to my sisters and older sisters and their friends playing, you know, the Beatles and Beach Boys.
So it was records in the house.
Yeah, records in the house.
Was anybody playing instruments?
Yeah, my sister had a guitar and she would let us borrow it to play once in a while, to play with it, or we would steal it from her.
But that's your first time playing?
Yeah.
She showed you chords and stuff?
Well, a bunch of us found a guy over at a local college, and we were little kids, we'd go over there, and he'd teach us how to play, he'd give us lessons. And it was kind of freaky, we'd be in these dorms, as you know, kids in elementary school, really. But we went and my sister and a couple of our friends would take lessons from this guy, and he taught us how to play, you know, folk music.
Do you remember the first record you bought yourself?
I would probably. 45s, maybe.
Sure.
I think we bought Blue Cheers, Summertime Blues.
Summertime Blues, right. Did you get them in the... Because I remember my first 45s, I got them at the drugstore.
Yeah, you'd give them at a store. You know, you'd go in and, you know, they were... you know, you would hear it on the radio and then you'd go in and want to find it. And I just remember hearing that song, and just it was very different from a lot of other music, and you know, just that kind of wall of sound they had coming out of the AM speakers.
Did you take music at school?
No, I was a geek. I was the record geek in the family. We had like, I don't know, five used record stores in our town, and I was always digging in the crates, you know, very regularly, you know, so we had, once we got the bug, we were just kind of cruising, going to those stores and hanging out and just looking for something interesting. You know, we never had it. It was a great opportunity just to experience a lot of different music, and yeah, we just grabbed something that had an interesting cover, or we saw a label we were interested in, or you know.
But you weren't really trying to make it yourself. Gonna make music. The thing with you, the guitar was just some folk music.
Yeah, initially when I was and we played, and then you know we're. And then I think I became much more of a music fan, and then really got into just going to shows, and I wasn't making music when I was a kid.
When did you start making music?
You know, later on, like, I would write, mostly started writing songs when I was, you know, older, like, in the teens in college, and then really when the technology cut was available to record on your own with like a little four track, I started recording and writing a lot of songs. But
so
that was...
You did that before you actually got together with guys and started jamming.
I'd say writing songs first and then jamming with guys and then eventually, you know, playing out with bands. But mostly focus was always original because we were... Our idea was we were trying to just kind of filter what we were experiencing and just try to express it, you know, in our own way. But we weren't trying to do covers or any of that stuff.
So, like, your first gigs is like a gig full of original songs.
Absolutely, yeah.
What was that first gig?
I would say I sat in with... I would sit in with a couple bands around Boston for the first gigs I played live. So, and then the first time we played my songs out was at the Middle East opening for Mike Watt and Jay Maskus.
Oh, yeah. That in actually Cambridge.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, TT's next door. I heard it's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, we got to hear She's on Fire. That was the first gig that you played your songs, huh?
All my songs, yeah. Most, you know, when I wasn't, like, jamming with people or playing, like, guitar and with guys. I
that was 17 years ago.
Yeah, easy.
Let's listen to She's on Fire. We'll be right back. Watt for Pedro show. Started off with the Warblers' brand new album, Run for Your Life. She's on Fire. What's that tune about?
It's about a girl.
All right, then we had Go Team.
It's about a girl trying to express herself.
Oh, okay. And?
That's as much as I can give you.
No, that's good. Yeah. That's good. That's good, Mike. Then Sunny Circle, brand new from the Go Team. Winter Sun, Maya and the Revolutionary Hell Yeah. Paranoid State after that with the Bars. Boris from their 25th year album. Dead Song. Healers with Still the Same, Salty, 0% Survival Rate. And finally, Meet Me at the Rat, the Warblers, where I can relate because I played at the Rat several times. There's a Boston club.
Yeah, yeah.
What part of town?
Kenmore Square.
That's right, Kenmore Square. And, much different now, that part of town.
Yeah, it is. It's gentrified now, but it was a seedy place and really loud and a lot, you know, just a place you would go to see bands and that weren't playing in the big clubs or anything like that. They were just a lot of the bands would tour through there on a lot of the punk tours, and it was just, I just remember it being overwhelmingly crowded and overwhelmingly loud and a lot of fun.
and the lights, they had like theater lights, and they were only like a foot off you, especially the drummer. George Hurley used to get cooked because he couldn't move. But we enjoyed playing there. We had a lot of good gigs there. Okay, this first crew of the Warblers, how'd they get together?
The first crew the very first one was a buddy of mine, George, who was in Baltimore. We would just jam and play and record the tunes. So that was the first version, and then
not really gigs, just fluent tracks back and forth.
Yeah, and I was living in Virginia at the time, and then when we moved back to Boston,
what part of Virginia?
Hampton Roads, down near Virginia Beach.
Far. Yeah, I was born in Portsmouth, and I lived in Norfolk. So Navy Park.
That's right. Yeah.
So then you moved from Virginia.
Well, I was down there. My wife, when I got married, my wife's job took us down there, so we went down. So then we came back to Boston, and the version of the Warblers there were these guys that I met through just a couple friends, and we were based in Alston, and you know they have these big those big warehouses where the bands. They rent out band space to practice, and I just remember, you know, spending just having a great time, just spending a day each week or 2 days each week with these guys, just you know, cranking on tunes, and then we were mixing my tunes and Steve Kennedy, who was the guitar player, and his tunes, and so it was a combination band at that time.
Who was on bass?
This dude Greg Hogan, who was a great a great bass player, and he broke up the first version of the band when he had to move out of the East Coast for his job, so we lost him.
Who was drumming?
Pete Beldracchi, and that broke up, but he's a solo artist in Boston now. He's got a band and he puts out a lot of music.
And what was the name of that first album?
The first album we did was Letting Fly in Lo-Fi.
That's right. I know because I played a lot of it on my show. Let It Fly in Lo-Fi. Let It Fly in Lo-Fi. Let It Fly in Lo-Fi. Kind of hard to say, but kind of neat.
Yeah, it was hard to say. Yeah.
And Yeah, playing Middle East. But there was another. Didn't you guys play two gigs? There was a West Mass gig too, wasn't there?
Oh yeah, yeah. We played. Yeah, we played.
With the Fog, with me involved.
I remember two shows. Yeah, yeah. With you and I think four or five gigs. We opened up like we were the opener for the opener.
Okay. It was more than two. For sure there was a West Mass one, maybe at the school.
Yeah, yeah, we play West Mass. And the big, the real memorable part about that time period for me was when I met you guys in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Okay, and we had
on the Fog Tour. And I'm standing, I had no idea that... Ron Ashton was coming to play with the band, and I remember just...
it wasn't really planned. Jay just asked me at soundcheck. He said, you know Ronnie, call him up.
Well, you know, that must have been, because I had no idea. I just remember standing, I was in the club, it was in the first band playing, and this dude walks in with a guitar, you know, and he's got sunglasses on, and I'm looking at him going, is that, you know, I had no idea. It's like, here's Ron Ashton waltzing into the club. You know, he just like strolls in with his guitar. It was like the gunslinger coming to town, you know?
Yeah. Then Jay asked him to go on tour with us.
Yeah, man. But I just remember for me being backstage at that Ann Arbor show.
Very important gig. That's the thing.
And I'm talking to you, you really, I could not talk to Ron Ashton. I was still kind of, I was like, this is Ron Ashton, you know. But I remember you guys encouraging me, you know. I said, and he said, hey man, why aren't you playing? You know, what's with your band? You know, and I'm like, okay man, we'll come out, we'll play with you guys.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Well, that's what music's about, right? It's about handing it over.
It was very inspiring for me, and it really lit a fire under us, and we had a great time, and we, you know, we've been going pretty steadily ever since, you know.
So, but you had to replace some dudes because of moving and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, now today the Warblers, Leo Wong, Sue Lamanto, and Bruce Todd, and these are great players, and we met them, because our kids were in preschool together.
Oh, wow, that's the connect. Okay. But is it the same, or is it, like, more your tunes now?
It's all my tunes.
Because the first version really you kind of shared with the other guitar man.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah. What about the middle record?
The record we put out, the first full record we did was called Fuzz Good, Fuzz Loud, Fuzz Fast.
Yeah.
Or Fuzz Fast, Fuzz Good, Fuzz Loud. And that was the current lineup, except we still had, on that one, I think Baldracchi was playing drums on that a little bit. And we had two drummers. We were shifting. That's where we were moving to the current lineup.
Transition.
And yeah.
Where do you do most of this record?
We recorded the first couple. Leo Wong recorded them on his gear, like a mobile gear he had. But then we recorded two more, the last two, at Biscuitine Studio, which is in Amherst.
Amherst. And so everybody lives in West Mass, of course.
Now, yeah.
Because the kids, go to the preschool. what about the clubs there? Is it Iron Horse and Pearl Street?
Yeah, there's a great music scene out here. It's a great kind of place to play. There's a lot of spots between Northampton. We play up in Greenfield and Amherst. That's pretty much the area, you know, but it's really a vibrant scene. And of course, you know, it grew a lot when Sonic Youth was based out here.
That's right. Yeah, they used to live in North End.
Yeah.
I think the boss of Smith College.
Right.
His old pad. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I remember being in that basement, and there was a buttload of records. Byron Coley's still living there, right?
Yeah. He's got a record shop.
Right, and he's even got a label, Test Tube
yeah.
Feeders.
Feeding Tube.
Feeding Tube Records, that's it. I just got a book put out by him up in Quebec. They made a book about Byron. He should be writing a lot of books.
Yeah.
That man is deep. When it comes to records, this is what I found out about in the old days. You met some of these people, and they were weird and strange, but they also were very deep into music, all kinds of stuff. It really amazed me. It kind of made me want to be with the movement even more. We know at the end of the first hour, October 27, 2017 edition of the Watt from Pedro Show, got special guest Michael Mashes talking about his journey through music. Hold tight for hour two. October 27, 2017. It's the second hour. The Watt from Pedro Show.
smartly dressed East African guy politely and clearly asks for a £4.30 all day return. The driver grows what and issues him with a £2 single in exchange for the £4.30 he's already paid. As the bus moves on, the young man tries to show him the ticket. The driver is tight-lipped, clenching his jaw and coldly grimacing at the road ahead. It's my stop. I get
I'm dying.
Dr. Pedro Show. Started the second hour off with Dogs at Your Door. Then Howie Reeve with All Day Return, Arabia Sadada, Alexander DeLarge, Red, just saw him in Sicily. Centauri, finally, I got lost. There, Italy, too. Automatic Sam out of Holland, Parnassia. And Amoris out of Poland, Odo Jesklawik, Sizzili. Sorry for fucking that up. And finally, the Warblers with Running for My Life. Let's talk about these Warblers too. First, Dogs at Your Door, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fun song to play for us.
Where did it come from?
Where's it from?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just you, like a kind of a bitter tune about, you know, relationships with women from, you know, going back in the day in teenage days, drawing on those emotions at that time.
And Running for Your Life? I mean, it's also the name of the record.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just a mood of, you know, kind of desperation and feeling, you know, the creative process and trying to find some meaning and get away from the noise.
Yeah. When it comes to your process of creating, what's it usually like? With the guitar in your hand?
You know, we joke about the fact that I write a lot of songs at 65 miles an hour.
While you're driving?
While I'm driving with a recorder, and I'm just, you know, I've got it up loud, and I'm just, you know, and the riffs come, and I just record them, you know, vocally. And because the last record, we were trying to figure out a song. I'm like, you know, I'm going to have to go back to, because we hadn't played it. We were trying to understand what I was talking about. So I had to, you know, I played them the part in the car where I'm going, da-na-na-na-na, you know.
You're kind of doing the riff a cappella.
And they were just, they were all amused by that, but the band, I mean.
Well, you know, I read Cat Beefheart. Well, that was a lot of his instruction, was vocal.
Yeah, I just try to get a good, you know, good riff, and then I work on the tune, and then I, you know, the lyrics are separate.
So words usually come last.
Either first or last, yes. You know, sometimes I'll write the lyrics I'm thinking about something, you know, subject, and I'll write it all out. Like if something's inspiring me and I'm writing about a particular event or something.
Well, for example, this next tune we're going to hear, Fading Out. What happened there?
Yeah. Well, in general terms, it was a it's kind of a angry response to somebody, you know, a person I was thinking about who was just kind of two-faced, I guess you'd say, or just very disappointing, and just kind of a, so it's kind of a negative song, I'd say, you know.
But you had a negative reaction to this behavior.
Yeah. Yeah,
that sounds good.
Let's just a disillusioned kind of, you know, feeling about the relationship with that particular person.
Sure. Let's listen.
Thank you. Thank you. your Nintendo. Well, sorry about the money, but you gotta keep the windows shut. And I've been marching around here calling my pretty self champion. Ignoring all my brothers in the sauce with a similar strut. Daddy did the dishwork, cooking up a pretty cool martyr. Beer on the bottom of a soup bowl, slurp yourselves up. Testing out the art school, autograph, and your white father. And her mirrors on every single service now, what? Huh? Get into showrooms, showing off the costume. Channel in your grandpa grinning with the well-placed wink. Walking into showrooms, showing off the costume. Oh, channel in your grandpa grinning with the well-placed wink.
Watt for Pedro show. You just heard Mystery Man from the Wobblers. Before that, Idiot Allies. Something live from Midwestern Medicine. Tidy Kid, Smell before that. Nobody Plays Baseball Here. Harold Nono, Hidekazu Wakabashi. Ahead of that was Taub, Slow Dancing. Starting it all off was The Disillusion Fading Out by the Wobblers. What about Mystery Man?
Yeah, that's just a monster riff that I loved. You know, we in the lyrics I had written along had had them for a while, and but we actually that's the tune I was just talking about earlier, where we just kind of I had to go out and get my recorder and play the riff, and we just you know, blew up on it in the studio.
All right. So the riff was kind of mysterious also. It was hiding from you. Good for the little... It's one of these little voice recorders?
Actually, I don't use any one particular. You know, I have actually a cassette one.
Yeah.
That I use. I also use, you know, a digital, whatever, you know, whatever's at hand, really.
Sure.
You know, sometimes I call my phone and just put it on my phone, you know, you do it on the phone. And
yeah.
Whatever, whenever it... But it's usually while I'm driving along, and it just, you know, it comes at
that
time.
Yeah, because how many times do you have good ideas and then they're gone?
Yeah, I really take to heart, you know, the Keith Richards story where he writes Satisfaction, you know, and put it on a tape recorder, you know, woke up and just put the riff on a tape recorder and went back to sleep. And he says he never would have remembered that riff if he hadn't recorded it.
Wow. Yeah, I believe that. I know I've lost several what I thought was happening stuff. Because, I'll get to it. And you don't
right.
fucking get to it. It's gone. It vanishes.
Hey, I was wondering how that tour went with the Meat Puppets earlier on. That must have been a lot of fun for you.
Yeah, there were some sad parts.
Oh, no.
Yeah, three of the gigs with Brother Grant.
Ah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. You know, he told me he had the cancer, the sickness, and he hugged me, and noticed I could feel his bones pointing.
Ah.
Yeah. You know, that was hard. But, I mean, on the other hand, I'm glad I got to do those gigs with him. One of them was in Brighton.
Yeah.
At that what's it called? Brighton Music Hall.
Right.
Near you.
Yep.
Like where you say you had to practice. And the Meat Pups, you know, they're all buddies of mine. So that's kind of good. And,
yeah.
We're all, in good health. In fact, one's got his son playing. His son's in his
right.
early 30s. It's hard to believe, you know, how the time wails. And then
that's a beautiful thing. Is just keep playing and...
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they're very kind to me and my men. And Kurt, the older brother, he went and played a song with us. Got a Blue Oyster Cult song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Red and the Black, kind of ironic
That's
lyrics.
Right. That's right.
Off the Tune of Mutation. One time I tried to get your brother to play that because I told him it was a tradition. You know, I've played with almost everybody since D. Boone.
Yeah.
But he... The lyrics he couldn't take as satire.
And sometimes it, you know.
And in the chorus, it's about, actually, I got to meet these guys, and I learned that it was actually about running from the draft. In the chorus where they say, you kill, you maim. They don't really mean about really doing that.
Wow.
But
wow.
Jake, you know, just hearing it. It took it to another place where it maybe could not be satire for him, and I understood.
But that's a band that, you know, talk about uncelebrated guitar player. I mean, that, you know, that band had monster riffs.
Yeah, he can still play. A couple of years ago, it's just Eric Bloom and Buck Darman left, but they invited me to play the Red and the Black with them up this gig they did in Beverly Hills. And Buck Darman can still play his ass off. It blew me away.
Yeah. No, I've seen him. I still caught him on YouTube a few times, and I'm a big fan, and
he can cook.
I don't know how many. What?
He can cook. He did not burn out. You know,
yeah, the guy.
He's a guitar meister.
He is. He is, and you know, he's a good guy to go to school on if you want to play guitar.
Somebody told me his daddy played sax, bebop, or something, and you can kind of hear it. I mean, he knows the blues, he knows rock and roll, but he does have kind of trippy. He had a huge effect on D. Boone. Of course, John Fogerty first, but then after him was Buck Dharma, then Pete Townsend, and then people in the movement, you know. But Buck Dharma had incredible influence on D. Boone.
Wow, yeah.
You know, I think because they were kind of a comedy band or whatever, people never took him that serious. But you listen to that guy play, man.
Hey, man, you know, people thought they were comedy, but, you know, they were like, the songs are very, you know, very literate lyrics. I mean, I really, I have great respect for that band.
Yeah. Yeah, they had a big influence on us, especially the first 3-4 records. We've come to the second hour, end of the second hour, October 27, 2017, Schwab Peter Show. Special guest, Mike Maskus. Hold tight for hour 3. October 27, 2017, it's the third hour. Watt for Pedro Show.
I stay my hopes on you. I lean so hard on my dream. I'm thinking of a complete. I won't let my soul look in the ring. Wasting my time trying to read your mind. I miss your twisted smile. You saw some dirty glare. You rapid fire toss. Attack my insecurity on. I'm so hard on my dream. I'm so hard on my dream.
step on it slightly.
All of God's children, they come.
for Pedro show. Started the third hour off with Set My Hopes on You from the new Warblers album. Making Space, number 4, FGH, out of Hamburg, Germany. David Gerard out of Boston, Massachusetts. Brand new album. Something about the Moog synthesizer, Circumvolution. Conformity Contortion. There's No Time Like the Prescient. Sorry. Daddy Barnes, Peanut Butter is a Man's Best Friend. Guide by Voices, Hiking Skin, and Play With Them Tomorrow. The Growlers Festival here in Pedro. Wonder how that'll go. Grandpa Ghost out of St. Louis with Carnage Queen, and finally the Warblers with Do No Harm. Do No Harm, Mike Maskus.
Yeah, hi. You just mentioned Guided by Voices, boy. They were a real inspiration for me as a band. Just the lo-fi and
prolific.
Prolific and just
101st album.
Yeah, and you know, who's I can't think of a better rock voice than Bob Pollard.
Oh yeah, Bob Pollard is a great singer. Hey, if there's some projects where he collaborates with Massachusetts guys, I think one of them plays Boston Spaceships or something.
Yeah, yeah, Boston Spaceships, sure. Yeah, well worth your time to check that out.
Yeah, yeah, I've played a lot on the show, but Do No Harm.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's kind of a philosophical song about, you know, just trying to, you know, just thinking about a lifestyle and trying not to, you know, cause any damage on your way through.
Yeah. That would be hip for a lot of people to pick up on.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, if we're going to get asked for advice, I'm right in line with that one. Yeah. When we started the hour off with Set My Hopes on You, that's another positive tune.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, it's obvious, you know, you draw from what you draw from. And, you know, if it's something, an idea or a feeling that you want to, you want to be able to express and put into words, and that's pretty much, you know, what I'm doing.
Yep. What about when you bring them to the dudes? Do you bring them the guitar part, the singing part, and then you ask them, or do you have ideas about bass and drum?
No, I just like the collaboration. So I bring the tunes in. I've got the riffs and the guitars, ideas about all the guitars, but, you know, the drums and bass and Leo's, you know, Leo who plays leads a lot, he comes up with a lot of leads. It's, you know, what we create, you know, the drums and bass are Sue and Bruce just kind of locking in on each tune and they, you know, they bring a lot to the sound and you know we're the tunes are coming out of are playing together. It's just the process I would describe it, you know.
Did you guys do a lot of prac before you went in for this album?
So some of the songs we would play, but we would normally, you know, no, I think we would practice and then we'd work on one or two songs, and we'll get it, and then we'll play it. And a couple songs we just actually put together for the first time in the studio.
Okay. You find that tougher or like more exciting?
It's fun. I mean, you know, and you know, we're not intense about it. I just try to get lightning to strike while we're doing it, you know, and if we like the what we'll come up with when we're learning the song, that's the best, you know.
Yeah. What about this Metal Bird? Was that a lightning journey song?
No, that's a song I wrote, you know, just really wrote and set up myself, you know, that's just the tune that I wrote completely, you know, in an isolated room by myself one day.
Not in the car.
Not in the car, no, that was a...
And you didn't have to bring the recorder in to listen to the riff.
No, I just played, I wrote that on a guitar, I recorded it right onto the four track, and, you know, it's, the lyrics I had worked on for a while.
I really like it. Let's listen. Watt from Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Metal Bird from the Wobblers. El Enemigo from Antonio Ramirez and Marco Serrato. Four Ideas. Birds of Paradise with Echolalia. Merit with White Sheet. Everyone is Dirty with Isn't It Great. Finally, the Warblers with I Do, which is kind of goodbye, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought might be fitting. What plans you guys got? You gonna do a little tour?
We're planning that out. We don't, you know, we put out the album and you know, we tour. We don't really tour like across the country at all. You know, we're a local base, and so we'll play around.
Where can people find you on the internet?
Well, we're on Facebook under The Warblers, we have a website, www.thewarblers.com, and we're on CD Baby, www.cdbaby.com, where you can download all our music.
Sure. So everybody in the West Mass, Connecticut, upstate New York area, they might be able to see, play some gigs.
Yeah, we're limited just because
situations. I understand.
The band, you know, family situation. Absolutely. For the bands. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, the Navy took my pop. I never got to see him growing up, so I understand. Don't worry, Mike. And a young person getting into this racket and asked you for advice, what would you tell him, Mike?
I would say, play as much as you can, and don't be afraid. Take a risk, you know, and I would say rely on your friends too. You know, work in collaboration as much as you can.
I like that. That's good stuff.
And I just like think that, you know, for me the music is, it's really about a way to, it feels kind of a need you have, that I have, right, I would say, about to just, you know, play and express yourself. But, you know, it's a great compliment to a lifestyle to be able to go out and play with your friends, you know, and just, to me, that's what we're doing, you know, and we're trying to, offer out some music, try to record what we're doing, but it's really a lifestyle.
Beautiful, Mike. I want to thank you so much for being on the show, truly. Keep on keeping on. It's been October 27th, 2017 edition of Watt for Pedro Show. Special guest, Mike Maskus. Everybody out there, keep your powder dry.